You know, I got to thinking this week, and contrary to the world's opinion, the choice to be in God's house every single Sunday morning is the most important choice we make. See, friends, I believe that choice determines where our allegiance lies. That choice determines whether or not your brothers and sisters, as you look around here this morning, are going to be encouraged or they're going to be discouraged. That choice determines whether or not Green Valley fulfills our Lord's command to stir one another up to love and to good works. And God has spoken to us over these last 5 weeks that the key to building is found in these foundational blocks. Foundational block number one, we must be transformational hearers of the Word of God. We must listen and we must heed God's Word so that we can be building an authentic faith. For God's Word teaches, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Foundational block number two is building an authentic faith. And not one person can build that type of faith if we do not listen for the voice of God. You see, family and friends, church is first and foremost about building lives. That means each one of us must determine in our hearts that we want to build our faith in a manner that will help us grow spiritually. God's looking for people who are passionate about their faith, people who are determined to build their lives on foundational block number three, the rock that is Jesus Christ. And we shared last week the number one thing that determines our passion and desire is foundational block number four, our attitude. Why attitude? Because our attitude will forever determine our altitude. And there are two kinds of attitude from which we can choose, a positive one or a negative one. And it is my prayer that we would encourage one another to always strive and to hold a positive attitude. You see, God shared with us last week that our attitude is an outward expression of an inward feeling. That's why all the things that we wear, our expression is the most important. Our attitude is the advanced man of our true selves. Its roots are inward, but its fruits are outward. It can be our best friend, or it can be our worst enemy. It's more honest and more consistent than our words. It has an outward look that is based on past experiences. It is the thing which either draws people to us or it repels people from us. Our attitude, this will not surprise you, I hope not. Our attitude is never content until it is expressed. Our attitude is the librarian of our past, the speaker of our present, and the prophet of our future. And the good news for you and I is that we get to choose our attitude. The best attitude one can choose is based upon the seven most powerful words that are found in Scripture that will transform and revolutionize your life if you will act on them. I can do all things through Christ. And that's why God desires to teach us today that there are certain things that can kill a positive attitude. I've entitled this message, Those Things That Kill. Listen to me, we have a great enemy, an enemy that Peter described as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you and I are not careful, we can allow him to attack us in ways that will affect our attitude. Family and friends, God wants us to know that more often than not, he attacks us through what we can call the inevitables of life. What are the inevitables of life? They are those things in life that you and I cannot change. Jesus said, speaking of his church and its people, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, ye can do nothing. As the song says, without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, life would be hopeless, like a ship without a sail. We need Him in our lives, amen? We need Him in our lives if you and I are to accomplish anything in this life, because we will not accomplish not one thing in this life by our own ability, by our own talent, or by our own wisdom. How many of you truly understand that only what's done for Christ will last? The reason I ask is because we can only accomplish things for Christ if we're building our lives on Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. That's why Paul tells us in our text, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why rejoice? Because rejoicing is a sign of a positive attitude. Family and friends, how many people do you know that you see on a weekly basis that have a sourpuss, negative attitude? Have you ever seen them rejoicing? Paul says, rejoice. This is the same Paul who had been beaten, starved half to death, stoned, left for dead, beaten three times with a Roman cat of nine tails, who found himself in prison with blood running down his back, surrounded by rats and disease, and yet he began to sing in the midnight hour. How could he do it? Because Paul knew he could do nothing about his circumstances, so he began to sing to the only one who could do something to alter his circumstances, to comfort him and to bless him. Why am I bringing this up? Because God wants us to know Paul did not do what a lot of people do today. He didn't waste time dwelling on the inevitables of life. He didn't waste time crying over spilt milk. Listen, God wants us to prepare for battle today because our enemy loves nothing more than to destroy a positive attitude in you and in the church. And he seeks to do it by getting us to dwell on spilt milk items of life, those things I call the inevitables of life. Listen, dwelling on the inevitables of life not only destroys your attitude, it will cripple your progress. And God wants to deal with our hearts here this morning on this. Family and friends, allow me to ask you a very personal question this morning. How much time do you spend dwelling on the things you cannot change? The reason I ask is because there are a lot of folks in this world who do just that. Rather than focusing on the positive, they dwell on everything that is wrong. They begin their day thinking about their past. They begin their day dwelling on all of the things they cannot change. And we have an enemy who wants us to buy into that kind of thinking, who wants us to do just that. Because he knows if he can get us to thinking about the things we cannot change, that we will start to become negative, that we will start to become bitter, that we will grow very disappointed in life. That's what happens when we begin to think upon those things that destroy our peace. Listen, every one of us has three main enemies in this world. We have Satan, we have this body of flesh we carry around, and we have this world's system. And we fight these enemies every single day on a daily basis. We battle this body of flesh. Sometimes it doesn't work, or it doesn't look the way we think it should. Amen. We battle the devil, who constantly tempts us to disobey God, and we battle this world. There's a grand array of things out here in this world today that will demoralize us and destroy our energy. There are things out there today you know as well as I do, so I'm not telling you something you don't know, that can produce in us an ineffective person or an ineffective church if we allow it. And one of the greatest attitude killers in life is fatigue. Vince Lombardi, the renowned football coach from many years ago, was right when he said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Family and friends, can I ask you this morning, why is it when we get tired mentally, physically, or emotionally, the first thing we want to do is give up going to church? Do you think that is just a coincidence? It's not. We have an enemy. And if he can get us emotionally tired, physically tired, or mentally worn out, he knows you'll stop serving God and may even choose to quit coming to church. That's why God has given us another wonderful promise in his word that he wants us to hold on to, Galatians 6:9. This wonderful promise helps us in those times when we're mentally, physically, and emotionally tired. That wonderful promise is this, and note how God begins it, and let us not be weary. You see, God knows we'll grow weary, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Fatigue is one tactic of the enemy. Another is criticism. When some folks get criticized, it just turns our wagon right on over. Family and friends, let me tell you something that I say often in this church and to people who are going through times of being criticized. We live in a highly critical world, but you remember this, crows only pick at the best fruit. Now, for certain, we can avoid criticism by doing nothing, by saying nothing, by being nothing. But God has not called you as a Christian or his church to be any one of those things. He has, however, called his church to stand up and to be a witness to his light and to his glory. And never is there a more important time than the days in which we are living right now in this pandemic for the people of God to rise up and to be a light and to be the salt of this earth. This people today need to know the Lord. Amen. But we cannot allow the criticism to destroy our attitude. And do you want to know why? Because what God thinks of you is all that matters. What God thinks of Green Valley is all that matters. And whatever anyone else thinks of you, guess what? It doesn't matter. One day you're not going to stand before all those who criticize you. One day you're going to stand before the Lord your God. There's only one voice that matters, and that is the voice of God. You live so as to please the Lord. And all the other stuff, that's nothing but noise. You live to please the Lord. And so we have two tactics that our enemy loves to use. Another tactic our enemy uses is our thought life. Let's face it, sometimes we dwell well on job irritations. We dwell on disappointments that we have in life, be it in ourselves or in other people. We dwell sometimes upon our own excessive workload. And when we dwell on these things, our thoughts are not positive, are they? They are negative. We begin to think critical things about ourselves, about others, about God. And these kind of thoughts remind me of two construction workers who sat down to have lunch. One opened his lunchbox and he screamed angrily, "Bologna! I can't believe bologna again! This is the fourth time this week I've had bologna sandwiches." His friend, seeking to calm him down, said, "Why don't you tell your wife to pack you something else?" "Wife," he said, "I make my own lunch." And the truth of the matter is, friends, most of the baloney in our lives, we've put there ourselves, amen? Because of this, our creative energy is destroyed, and we become non-productive. Let me share with you this morning what I believe is the greatest waste of energy in America. It is not electrical or natural gas. The greatest waste of energy in America is the energy people waste dwelling on the inevitables of life, those things you cannot change. Accept this. There are things we cannot change. We cannot change the fruit of a foolish choice in our past. We cannot change the disposition of our growing children. We cannot change the death of a loved one. We cannot change the result of a bitter divorce. We cannot change our past life or the past life of this church. Paul said something, another wonderful promise of God, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the prize of the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:13. Our past is over. Say that with me. Our past is over. Forget it. Press on, press on, press on in Jesus' name. He has something wonderful for us. Let's seize it in Jesus' name. When we dwell on the inevitables of life, those things we cannot change, we get twisted, we get ulcers, we become negative, we become hateful, we become resentful. Listen, do you know that some people actually die because of their inability to choose a positive attitude? When folks allow themselves to get caught up in the vice grip of lost hope, when they surrender to despair, when they surrender to depression, there is nothing to do but to lay down and die. And so understand this, God wants us to know that our thought life can kill us. The Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why we need to wake up every morning claiming God's promise to us. Those seven most powerful words, I can do all things through Christ. Say that with me this morning. It'll feel good. Just try it on. I can do all things through Christ. Because the truth is, we choose our attitude as soon as we get up in the morning. It reminds me of a prayer I read recently. Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't lied or cheated. I haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. God, I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to be getting out of bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to be needing a lot more help. God has said in the book of Ephesians that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Family and friends, that armor of God allows us to set our attitude for every day. Face it, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, we most assuredly can do all things through Christ. God says, Proverbs 8:17, I love those that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. David wrote in Psalm 63:1, Thou art my God, early will I seek thee. The point is, if we'll tune our lives to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing every morning, our lives are going to be able to withstand the bumps and the bruises and the shocks that we receive daily. If we don't, we may react like the college student who studied all night long for a zoology test. He knew that if he failed the test, he was going to flunk out of college. He would be drafted by the army. He would face the fury of his father. He studied all night long. He had the memorization chart in his mind. He walked into the classroom for the final exam. The professor had 10 birds lined up across the front of the stage with covers over their bodies, nothing showing but their legs. He wrote on the board, name and classify these 10 birds by the appearance of their legs. The young man's positive attitude went right out the window. He knew he didn't have a clue. So he stood up and he said, this is a stupid test and you are a stupid professor. And he threw down his books and he said, this is a stupid university. The professor asked, young man, what is your name? That young man bent over, pulled his pants up to his knees, and he said, you guess, professor, you guess. Family and friends, our attitude is our choice. We need to choose it early before things have a chance to go wrong. A salesman was out of town having breakfast. He told the waitress, "Burn the toast." He said, "Sweetheart, bring it to me black." And he said, "I want you to scorch the eggs. Just burn them to a char all around the edge." Then he said, "I want you to bring me some cold coffee." Then he said, "I want you to char the bacon till it looks like a black rope when you bring it out." The waitress brought it out and she said, "This is the strangest breakfast I have ever served in over 25 years. Is there anything else?" "Yes, could you sit down across from me, frizz up your hair, and an egg?" Let's review what we said. We have three main enemies that we face on a daily basis: our flesh, the devil, and this world. They attack us in several ways, either through mental, physical, or emotional fatigue, or through criticism directed at us by others, or they come upon us through our own thought life. And through all of these avenues, our attitudes can be affected. Now, I want you to stop and consider this morning. What affects us will affect others. They'll affect others in our own family. They'll affect others on our job. They'll affect others in our church. What affects us will affect others. And you'd better believe it. And so, when we begin to think about us, that's why God wants us to know that our attitude determines our destiny. It's why God has made it clear we are responsible for our choice of attitude, for the benefit of ourselves, of our own family, of those we work with on the job, of those wherever we are. Especially in the church family, we are responsible for our own attitude. God has made it clear that our attitude is important for our spiritual development. We need to choose a positive attitude early. The Bible supports the fact that a positive attitude produces a grand result, and a negative attitude produces absolutely nothing worthwhile. Compare the attitudes of St. Paul and Doubting Thomas. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." Well, what did he accomplish? Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And God used him to help establish the New Testament church. And Paul did most of this while being imprisoned in Rome, confined to one of the worst environments possible. He produced a product that helped establish God's name. And God rewarded Paul because God in turn established Paul's name. Over 2,000 years later, schools, hospitals and universities and even churches are named after him because he shook up the world with an attitude that would not be conquered. Paul believed God when God said, "I can do all things through Christ." Do you believe him? And then consider Doubting Thomas. He chose a negative attitude. Doubting Thomas had followed the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. He witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet after the crucifixion, Doubting Thomas said, "Except I see the scars in his hands, I cannot believe." The man had seen enough miracles to believe for a century, but he did not hold his faith for 1 week. Instead, he held a negative attitude, and his words were words of discouragement. Let me tell you something. Discouragement is contagious. You may have heard the story of the fellow who is going to jump from a bridge. An alert patrolman spotted him, and as he walked slowly toward him, he was talking to him all along the way. He said, "Sir, there's absolutely no reason for you to jump and to kill yourself." The man turned around and said, "But you don't understand. My wife has left me. My business has gone broke, and the IRS has repossessed my house." After 30 minutes of listening to that kind of talk, they both jumped. It's contagious. Let one church member say it can't be done and it spreads like a virus. Let someone in your own home say it can't be done and it spreads like a virus. Hope is strangled in discouragement. Joy is poisoned by discouragement. Dreams die because of discouragement. Discouragement is a cancer that kills a person, a business, a church, or a home, and it kills the hopes of its people. And God is saying to us, understand that we can do all things through Christ. Understand that we have three main enemies that are going to attack us in various ways on a daily basis. But do not dwell upon the things you cannot change. Rather, do what my word commands. Be careful. It's right here in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now watch the wonderful promise that God has given to His people. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. So don't come to me after the message and say, "Pastor, can you explain it?" God says it passes all understanding. Shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God knows there's some people are prone to not be able to think correctly. Do you know somebody who cannot think correctly? Do you have somebody you suspect cannot think correctly? God may think about us. You cannot think correctly. So God has given us some thoughts in His Word. Note what He says, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. What are we to be thinking about? The things that are true. Whatsoever things are honest. What are we to be thinking about? The things that are honest. Whatsoever things are just, what are we to be thinking about? The things that are just. Whatsoever things are pure, what are we to be thinking about? The things that are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, what are we to be thinking about? The things that are lovely. Why do you want to focus on things that are unlovely? What's that going to do for you? Whatsoever things are of a good report. Can you imagine a world where everybody went around and when they talked about another, they told all the good things about the other? That's not the world we're living in, is it? It's dependent upon you and I to claim the promise of God. I can do all things through Christ. You see, when we begin to think right, when we begin to act right, when we begin to take it all to God in prayer, when we begin to understand that only what's done for Christ will last, oh friend, we'll change our home. We'll change our own life. We'll change our home life. We'll change a church's life. We'll change a community's life. We'll change a state's life. We'll change a nation's life. You see, we are the light and the salt of this earth. Let's close by making an application here. We can do nothing about the inevitables of life. Therefore, don't allow your attitude to be determined by them. As you think about what God has shared with us this morning, allow me to ask you, what is God saying to your heart right now about your attitude? Can I ask you, is God asking you to adjust your attitude? Is God saying to you, it's high time for you to stop dwelling on the past? My mama used to say something very important. I say it now. Every now and again, I'd think about the past. I think about past horses I trained, and now I no longer had them. I think about things that are going on in life. I think about people who'd passed on that I dearly cherished and loved. I think about decisions that have been made that couldn't be undone. Mama used to say, you can't saw sawdust. That board's done been cut. You can't saw sawdust. It's time to move on. And Father, we pray for one another here this morning, for your grace and your glory to be shed abroad in the hearts of each and every one of us. Lord, we pray, if any of us be prone to thinking about things of the past, things that we cannot change, that we would forget them, as Paul said, and press on toward the mark of our high calling in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the soul today who does not believe that Christ can save him. I want that soul to know that there is no sin that you can commit that God cannot forgive you for. You need to put more emphasis on God's grace and less importance on your failures. Our God is a God of all grace, a God of all mercy, and nothing is impossible for Him. I pray for that Christian brother or sister who's sitting here this morning hearing this message, or who is listening via YouTube on the live stream, and you struggle every day. You're thinking about those things of the past. You're hung up on some past hurt or some past act, and you can do nothing about it, and it is destroying your daily walk with God. And I pray for God to give you the strength to lay it down and turn it over to Him, and to seize the strength that you will find in those seven powerful words, I can do all things through Christ. God has something wonderful for you. Seize it in Jesus' name. We pray for those who may be called to join this church. If God is speaking to your heart, we ask that you would come. For those who've listened on YouTube this morning, write us. 695 Green Valley Road, Lebanon, Virginia, 24266, or call us. Let us know of the decisions that you have made for Christ. And may God get the glory in all decisions that are made. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Brother Marty, if you'll come, we're going to sing a song that was sung at the end of every Billy Graham evangelistic message, Just As I Am. I think it's one of the most powerful songs in all of Christendom, Just As I Am. You come, and then you allow God to do all the rest. Amen? Our God is a great God. He is a God full of mercy. He is a God full of love. And you remember this if you remember nothing else. God wants nothing but the best for you. Sometimes it requires us to come, and when we step out, all the things that have held us, they lose their power because our focus is on Jesus Christ. God is speaking to you. You come this morning. Brother Marty. Thank you. Brother Dwight, would you come and close our service in prayer?